Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, welcome to my next episode of the City Confessions. Today is a special day because I have an amazing guest for you guys. She's one of my best friends, and she is Jessica Markowski, a fashion blogger and also a native New Yorker. And the best part is that she's so lovely to look at because she's also an actress and model. So welcome.
Thanks, Marianne. I'm so happy to be here.
So I would like to start off with just having you talk about your relationship with the city. Because I think a great part of our friendship is that we both are native New Yorkers, mm-hmm. and that is something that we connected on since day one.
Yeah. So first, maybe we could start off with talking about how we connected.
Sure.
You know, you were interning and I was modeling for a company, and we grew our relationship through the sole reason that we were both from New York and we love that about each other.
And I think we also have mutual friends.
Yeah, and we had mutual friends.
And we never actually met, but like we knew of each other.
Yeah, and we had so many mutual friends on Facebook. So we're like, okay, this girl knows my friends. So she's destined to be my friend.
Totally.
But that's how we pretty much started. But then, you know, what was the question? The original one.
What is your relationship with New York City?
With New York City.
And your background?
Yeah. So my relationship with New York City, it's really strong because I grew up here. My mom and my dad came from Poland in the 90s, and I grew up here from day one. So I have like a strong attachment to New York City. I think it's, you know, it's born and bred in my DNA. If anybody asks me, you know, I am a real New Yorker. I don't see myself as anything else. So yeah, my attachment is pretty strong to it.
So where did you grow up specifically?
Yeah, so I grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up in Greenpoint, which is used to be a very Polish community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every neighbor, deli, restaurant, you name it, everybody was Polish.
Actually, that's how I know about you because we know Angelica Zielinski, and she's in Greenpoint.
Right, yeah, right. Exactly, because she went to Baruch with
right.
you. Yeah, so I grew up in that neighborhood where it was very Polish. Now it's gentrified because Brooklyn is very cool now. Mm-hmm. But growing up, Brooklyn was never considered cool. You know, I was always considered that outsider when I went to school in Manhattan. I was always, you know, treated differently because I went to school in Manhattan, but I was from Brooklyn. I, like, lived that Gossip Girl story, you know, like, what was her name from Gossip Girl? The blonde girl who's from Brooklyn.
Serena,
oh,
no.
Not the, putting you on the spot.
We'll get back to
that. We'll get back to that.
Oh, but Jenny.
Jenny, yes. So what Jenny felt like, I literally felt like.
Wow.
Okay. I was always that outsider in school because I went to school on the Upper East Side. And you could only imagine, just like a Gossip mm-hmm. Girl, I was that outside girl from Brooklyn who was never really accepted for just that sole purpose.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I had no idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, if you were to describe New York City in mm-hmm. one word, what would it be and why?
I would say it's fast-paced.
Okay.
That's how I would define
it. And do you like that it's fast-paced? And what do you think about that compared to just maybe a city? Like if you were to grow mm-hmm. up in a city that wasn't as fast paced, what would be the difference?
You know, because I'm from here, like fast paced is in our DNA. Like
totally.
We always have like 10 things in mm-hmm. one day, and that's completely normal. You know, when I go to places such as, you know, Vail, Colorado, or go to California or go to other places, I feel like it's too slow for me. Whenever I leave,
know,
I'm like,
exactly.
Oh my God, what the hell? It's 7 o'clock. People aren't up yet.
What's
happening? I already want to have coffee. Like, you know, it's just
totally.
Because, you know, that's how I grew up. I grew up getting up really early in the morning. I grew up doing tons of shit in one day. And, you know, so Yeah, I like the fast pace. It's what I am. It's what I grew up in. It's what I grew up to become. And yeah, I like that about New York.
I can relate 100% because obviously I live the same similar lifestyle.
Yeah.
But I will say there are times when I'm overwhelmed because everything is so fast paced. And that's why I think, you know, having holiday and taking weekend getaways are super
helpful.
Thank
God for all this.
Totally. So I know that you said you really like the fast pace and, you know, you just agree that it does get overwhelming. What is one favorite thing that you do love about the city, maybe aside from the fast-paced movement? And what is one thing that you wish you can change?
Yeah. So I answer the...
So is fast-paced the favorite part of the city, though?
No. Well, I don't know if fast-paced is my favorite part, but
because
I do...
How you would describe it.
Yes. Yes. Well, I love the fast-pacedness, but I think my top most favorite part of New York City is... the accessibility. I love the fact that, you know, wherever I need to get to, I could get there. I could do so many things in one day because in New York City, it's easy to get around. And I love the fact that you could do so many things in one day. So I like the accessibility aspect, I think, most, because wherever you go, if, say, for example, you go to Los Angeles, it's not like you could do tons of things in one day because number one, you have traffic. Number two, you need a car. There are so many different variables that get in your way of you wanting to do certain things.
Right.
So I think the accessibility is something that's so unique to New York that we don't really notice and we take it for granted. But I think that's something that is just so magical and beautiful about New York.
What is one thing you wish you can change?
I think... people's like bitterness and anger is something that I wish we didn't have in New York. But I think a lot of people in New York are always very angry. And I understand, you know, we live in the high pressure city. Everybody is in such high pressure. But I think, you know, taking aback a little bit and just enjoying that we live in a great city and like we are privileged to, you know, make a decent living and we're privileged to meet so many beautiful people in so many different industries. I think, you know, that's something I wish we just had a little bit different. It's just like more optimism because we're very pessimistic in this beautiful city.
It's so funny you say that because I'm totally one of those like guilty people.
Yeah.
That I even maybe like a few years ago, I did feel not angry, but easily irritated. And it did have to do with the fact that I'm a New Yorker and there's so many external factors. So let's say if I were to miss a train or, you know, we have train delays all the time and maybe I'm late for a meeting or just like somebody bumping into me or catcalling, all of these factors are very common in New York City. But I felt like I would let those things get in my way or just like affect my mood so instantly. And for me, because we never had this conversation, but this year has been super transformative for me. And I've taken a step back to reanalyze my life, my goals. I've been reading a lot of like self-help books, listening to like really good podcasts, and recently, you know, started to meditate religiously. And my headspace has changed dramatically from the beginning of the year to now.
Yeah.
I feel like I did a 180, and it's all because of what you said, like practicing gratitude, appreciation, taking a step back to acknowledge and literally just take a breath. And sometimes when I'm walking, I'll look at the skyscrapers and like, wow, like I live in New York City. And just like what you said, there are so many possibilities, so many great people that you meet. And now I'm able to look at the world in a more optimistic perspective.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You have to. I mean, jumping with what you said, the more open-hearted you are and the more you're willing to take in, you can't imagine how many people I've met on the subway by just having a smile on my face, by just having a conversation with people. I've met amazing people. I'll even mention this one. I met last year, 2 years ago, I was walking down the street in Gramercy to meet with a friend. And I met Ralph Lauren's son.
Wow.
Because he randomly just, I didn't even know who he was,
but
he just started a conversation with me and I started with him, you know, just because I wanted to be engaging and not have my head down. I just wanted to just yeah. you know, have a talk with someone. And turns out that I met Ralph Lauren's son by just having my eyes open yeah. and attentive and having a smile on your face, because, you know, you never know who you can meet in the city too.
That's so interesting. And yeah. I think that's...
And it's hard. I know it's mm-hmm. so hard in New York because, you know, we're running from point A to point B and, you know,
but
we're
just taking that
so
one
things.
Second or that one moment yeah. to like see where like where you're at and taking a moment to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so interesting that you mentioned that. I love that you did yeah. because it's perfect for why I wanted to start this podcast, which I kind of was telling you about previously. Yeah. But you can meet so many people. Like when you're in a cafe, when you're in a subway car, when you're, like you said, just walking to your destination, I think everybody you meet is obviously fascinating. We all have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally the motivation for this podcast right. because eventually I do want to be able to approach strangers and just say like, hey, you seem interesting. Like, I would love for you to be on and just talk about your story. So mm-hmm. that's so cool. So I would love to hear what yeah. keeps you up at night. I know it's a very tough question because I don't think people often talk about that. It's just one of those things where you internalize your thoughts. And because think about it, I'm sure you can relate. There are moments where your body is so tired, but you can't go to sleep because your mind is honestly running around with so many thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily like this moment, but what are some of the things that have kept you up at night or maybe currently keep you up at night?
What keeps me up at night?
Or just like things that you're stressed about or personal, you know, I don't know, I'm not saying issues, but just like concerns or fears or insecurities.
Yeah.
Or
you know, because I am an actress and a model and I do, you know, I freelance for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think things that keep me up at night is not knowing if tomorrow will mean that I will close another deal, partnership, you know, audition, booking. Will I have another casting? I think that's what sometimes could keep me up at night. It's not knowing what tomorrow might hold,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I don't have that regular 9-to-5 job. And I know that I will make this amount of money the next day because mm-hmm. I have that 9-to-5
totally.
Full-time job. I think because my industry is very cyclical, there's one week where I could make a lot of money, but the next 2 weeks I might make zero. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, not knowing what the future may hold for you tomorrow
mm-hmm.
is something that keeps me up at night, and not knowing what, you know, next week, you know, on a Wednesday might hold for me. You know, it's just not knowing
right.
what your future really holds is what tends to keep
and
me
I
up
can
at night.
Relate because clearly I'm also in the same kind
yeah.
of freelance working for myself. And
mm-hmm.
as you mentioned, every month or even week and
mm-hmm.
day is different. You mm-hmm. just never know.
Yeah.
But in saying that, what keeps you going then? Because you don't know
mm-hmm.
and it's such a risky industry to be
yeah.
in, how do you stay motivated with your goals? And
yeah, so I have something that I created myself, you know, because I do act, model, and I do influencer work. I created this Excel sheet
mm-hmm.
that really organizes every project I have. So I know how much I'm making every single month, and I organize each sheet with how much I'm making. That's something that pushes me because I know that if I make that number every month, I will be a happy person. So I know that, you know, if I reach half by the half of the month, I'm like, okay, I need to pick up my stuff,
mm-hmm.
pick up my shit, and really reach that other half because I know I won't be happy if I don't make that particular number.
Well, has there been a time where you haven't met that number? And how do you deal with that?
No, because I'm a real New Yorker. I'm a true hustler. So no matter what, I make it work.
Okay.
And I make that number. Just because, you know, it, just like, as
right.
you know, being a New Yorker, it makes you like such a, and you know, my background being like a first immigrant,
mm-hmm.
I think money is such a,
driving force.
It's such a priding force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the perfect way of saying it. It's something that my parents have worked so hard in America for that
mm-hmm.
I don't want to let them down.
Right.
And it's ingrained that into my head
mm-hmm.
and in my DNA that I have to make a lot of money and I need to make a certain amount just to make me happy and make my family happy. I think it all ties into one another.
Totally. So being that you are a fashion blogger, an actress, a model, mm-hmm. I personally don't have any friends who fit all those three categories. Yeah. Can you tell me what it's like, just like a perspective, maybe mm-hmm. even an insight to what a day-to-day life is? And a question that I often ask for people in this industry mm-hmm. is like, do you feel pressure? Because as a model, I want to hear about, is there a specific story that was life-changing mm-hmm. for you, an encounter or something that was like, that stands out when you think about your career?
Yeah. So, you know, because I first started as a model in New York, I think the pressure was very strong when I was 16. I felt like, and my mom could attest to it. You could even attest to me when you first met me. I was sickly thin.
You were,
I don't know if you remember, but I was like, oh my God, borderline. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this modeling industry has pressured us back then to be so thin and to fit that perfect size. Right. And, you know, even my agencies would pressure me to lose weight. And, you know, so I always knew I had to be a certain size, even though I didn't really have to, but I actually did, you know, for me to go to an audition back then or a casting back then, I had to meet a certain criteria. So I knew I had to be a certain size.
Would they like say something specifically?
Yeah. So they would say like, you know, these are great, you know, gym memberships you should look into.
Oh my God.
Or
like really, really subtle, like kind of.
Yeah. In a subtle way, they would say like you have to.
Still super harsh.
But
right?
harsh being 16. Yeah. Well, I remember, and you know, I would even say, I remember meeting with, you know, because when I was 16, I was still meeting with a lot of agencies. There was this one very famous guy. I don't want to say names.
Right. You know how to.
But he would work for a certain agency that mm-hmm. I was looking to join. Mm-hmm. And I would go there with my mom and they wanted to sign me, but they told me, I wish I could say the name of him, but I don't want to be that person.
Right.
He was like, you have to lay off the pierogi right in front of me and my mom. And
what? Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
First of all, pierogi.
I love pierogi.
I know they're Polish
they're
food.
Delicious.
Yeah. But he would say like, you know,
and that's kind of like racist. Is it not? I mean,
yeah, well,
I mean, to like
borderline,
but to put like, I don't know. I just
if that were to be said now, we would say like, that's racist, you know,
right.
But back then we would, you know, we wouldn't know better.
So what was your initial reaction? And obviously I also want to know what your mom thought.
Yeah. So when we went there, obviously I worked with other agencies going forward. They just weren't the right fit for me. You know, I would not, my mom said she did not want me to lose all this weight because I was 16. I was still growing.
Yeah.
I was still developing. At 16, you're still not
of
like,
course.
You're 100%.
You're still like a baby.
You're still
also
a baby.
Like mentally and emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah. And super insecure. I know that when I was 16, I was so insecure. So, yeah, we just both knew that this agency wasn't the right fit just because if they didn't love me the way I was now, then, you know, there's no way of me. I would just be like a destructive, you know,
teenager,
yeah. Just being with such an agency that, you know, treated me a certain way. And, you know, you want to join an agency that loves you and is like family to mm-hmm. you. And if they're talking down of you
mm-hmm.
in the initial meeting,
right.
That's usually a bad sign.
A red flag, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though they're reputable, it's usually
and it's about like the right fit also.
Yes.
Totally. Right.
Yeah.
So did you end up joining an agency?
Yeah.
Hollywood?
So I worked with, you know, agencies then, and I still do now, but you know, that was my one bad experience that, you know, I want people to know that not every agency you walk into, they're going to love you with your heart. And, you know, I have bad stories of certain ones that treated me badly and it wasn't as easy. So yeah, I think, you know, going back to like original question that you asked, I think back then, the stakes were much different.
Definitely more diversity and
There's
representation.
Much more.
And I think that does have to do with social media.
Absolutely.
So you are, so for transitioning from that and taking your experience as a model
mm-hmm.
and now as an influencer, mm-hmm. what do you think are the, like what has helped you in the modeling industry and your experience to be in, I guess, the influencer mm-hmm. world now?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I treated my Instagram always as a diary. I always documented the commercials I booked.
Yes, I remember that actually. Yeah, you would put both behind the scenes and also like the actual, mm-hmm. I guess like final shoots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So that's how I treated my Instagram. Like, the sole purpose of my Instagram was to show that, hey, mom, I booked this commercial. Hey, friend, I booked this print shop.
Like, your accomplishments, but also, behind the scenes.
Yeah, I just wanted to show that I was a working model and that I was a working actress. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted Instagram for, just to show people that I'm working.
And just like you, like, I think we were both early in the game.
Yeah.
Because I remember I followed you, like back in the day.
Yeah.
And, just being, I was like, wow, like, this, I do think it was a diary because we weren't that close, but I think we were both very supportive and being like, I know her and she knows me.
Yeah, totally.
So that's so interesting that you said that. So what was the transition between, you know, just using it casually, showcasing your life to more, because I think right now your Instagram is obviously one, amazing, but two, more of a business and a brand perspective.
Yeah. So I think that because I always treated my Instagram as this diary, I realized companies started to approach me saying, hey, we would give you free product if you post. And I accepted those offers and I would do that. And that's how I got into this whole influencer
marketing thing.
Because
nobody knew that you could even get paid.
No, I didn't. Yeah. And I didn't. I would just do it just because people would send me free stuff and I would post about it. But then I realized, like, a switch went off in my head. And I would say to myself, you know what? Maybe I should start asking for money.
Right.
So instead of when companies would approach me saying, hey, you know, we'll give you this free set of makeup in exchange of a post, I'd be like, well, wait a minute. You know, I would love to work with you, but if and only I would accept this offer for $100. And that's how I, you know, expanded my growth in influencer marketing, is by, you know, charging $100, $200, $300. And that's how I, you know, kind of gained an understanding of my worth too, when it came to social media. So I think that's how I turned my Instagram into a business, is because I would charge people going forward instead of, you know, just partnering with brands for the sake of just getting free product. And that's how I pretty much just started to build relationships and started to work with brands. And that's what leads me to today, to be honest.
And that's how you and I actually got close, because I think, one, we were like, wow, we're now kind of in the same industry. But two, and I just want to take a moment to just, like, appreciate our friendship and relationship, because I think you, compared to, like, all the other people in the industry, you're very supportive. And I think we both have such an open dialogue with the back end of, you know, how we get jobs and everything. And that's a competition that, for some reason, women...
So touchy. Yeah. Touché for some.
And it's, they think it's competitive. And it's just... I don't understand. Because that's something that I believe in, like, woman empowerment and just, like, supporting one another. And I think that's why our friendship is so strong.
Yeah. And it also ties into the fact that we're New Yorkers. And we're very frank and honest.
Yeah.
And if it's rude, like, whatever, we just say
it. Right.
You know, I think that also ties into us having this open dialogue that might be hard to so many, because they feel like, no, this is a secret.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, number one, because we're close friends, and number two, because we're, like, New Yorkers who are trying
similar
to help
upbringing.
One another.
Yeah.
And similar upbringings that really just keeps us more open-hearted to one another too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I want to dive in a little deeper into the confessions aspect of the podcast. And I'm always hesitant, you know, to invite guests on, because I don't want them to feel pressured to, like, say anything they don't want to say, because at the end of the day, this is a safe environment. I approach the guests because I know I want to hear their stories, and I think their stories are beneficial to the listeners. So if you want to just take a second to think about maybe something that, you know, you want to confess and just kind of go from there and talk about it. And I hope, like, you're comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And it can be small or big, positive, bad, anything you want.
Okay. Yeah. So I think a confession for me would have to be that I'm not as confident as one would probably think by just looking through a naked eye. You know, if people see me on the street, they're like, wow, this girl looks confident. When people see me at events or when I'm walking the red carpet, people think, wow, this girl just radiates all this confidence. But in all honesty, I'm, like, just as shy and humble as most. I don't think, and that takes a lot of training to just, you know, try to show that one is confident. You know, because, you know, you sometimes in this industry you also have to fake it till you make it. sort of thing. And that
I totally agree. Yeah.
That has always been something for me because, you know, me going back to when I was in middle school or high school, I was always that shy girl. I was never that girl to like run onto mm-hmm. stage and be like, yeah, look at me. I was always just more shy.
Yeah.
I think that's a confession that sometimes is pretty misleading to most, is that people think like this girl is just like so confident and has mm-hmm. all her shit going for her. Mm-hmm. No, honestly, like I'm pretty shy. When you come to know me and spend more time with me, you come to realize like this girl is pretty like shy.
Mm-hmm. No, I yeah. think I got that.
Yeah.
You're very, yeah, you're more reserved. You're yes. shy, but you're also very humble.
Yeah.
And I think you're super sweet. Like okay. I almost feel like you don't have a bad bone in your body because
no.
your energy and just like your vibe is so calming. Even
yeah.
your voice.
Oh,
I'm sure people listening to this are like, I love her voice.
Yeah, she should do more your voiceovers.
Right? So obviously you were saying you fake it till you make it, but mm-hmm. how do you, okay, you go to a lot of castings.
Yeah.
You attend a lot of events. A lot of this is first impressions, a lot of judgment. So being that you are more reserved and more shy,
mm-hmm.
do you like have positive affirmations? Like what do you do before you go to these events and castings to make sure that people see you for who you are? But also like you, at the end of the day, people make first impressions all the time. And I think a part of it, you have to be confident because mm-hmm. if you're not, people can see right through it. And I don't want to say it's not attractive, but I think confidence is very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that, you know, when I first started going to castings and auditions, I know that for all the casting directors who like still remember me or whatever, mm-hmm. like I know that I would walk in so shy and like so just not, you know, open-hearted mm-hmm. to these meetings that I've had with people. I was just much more just shy. And I think something that has helped me along the way is number one, definitely the experience. It's just like anybody going to an interview. You know, you're never going to book that first interview you
right.
walk in on. It's kind of like for my auditions too. I had to go to a few auditions before I booked it, before
right.
I booked all the castings mm-hmm. and the jobs. Like I had to train myself to become better at it. But I think something that has helped me to prepare to going to auditions or to castings or to anything is just to like look at yourself in the mirror and just say like, I'm going to nail this. And like just positive like affirmations
mm-hmm.
to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are beautiful. Like anything that just will get you up and going or even like jamming out to music.
Yeah.
I do that too.
Yeah.
I put on music and I start dancing and like just getting into like
yeah.
feeling good and
yeah.
like feeling hot,
feeling
sexy, just feeling myself.
Right.
I need that to
yeah.
feel good. Like, even though like people might say like, wow, this girl's beautiful. Like I need to feel it
yeah,
in order
think,
to, you know, really radiate that to somebody else.
Totally. And it's one thing. Yeah. It has to come from within.
Yeah. Has
you can
to.
Hear it from casting directors, people you meet in the streets, your mm-hmm. friends, your family. But like, if you're genuinely not confident or like happy, then like, it's so much harder to like, you know, naturally feel that way.
Totally.
So another question I often ask is after, you know, people confess something, mm-hmm. I also ask if somebody else was going through the similar thing, what would your advice be to kind of overcome it? So what if
yeah.
there's a model out there listening, or an aspiring model
mm-hmm.
or influencer, and they literally are super shy, super reserved, and they're not confident, but they want, you know, they want to be confident,
mm-hmm.
successful, and happy. Like, what is your advice? Because clearly, you know, it's a struggle for you, but
mm-hmm.
you, I think, have reached a point where you can say, you know, that you are confident now.
Yeah. I think my tips would be to, let me think.
Or maybe even think about, I think you're 16-year-old self,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly you just spoke about the pressures of body image and just so much negativity, I think, also,
mm-hmm.
and self-esteem.
Yeah.
So you can tell yourself maybe to your 16-year-old self something.
Yeah. So to my 16-year-old self, I would say that you just have to love yourself. And whether that means, you know, surrounding with yourself with like friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of people get like, great support by the people they surround themselves with, and they get a high from being surrounded by people. Mm-hmm. Or some people get a high from, you know, dancing, like I said. Some people get a high from going to the gym and, like, you know, getting that adrenaline pumping to feel confident. Mm-hmm. You just have to figure out what gets you that high, you know, and gets you, like, on your tippy toes, like, nice, like, and happy. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would recommend, is just trying to figure out what makes you just feel like at your highest, and definitely not at your lowest.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, another, you know, towards the end of this, I kind of, I think another question I think I have is, if you can thank the city for one thing, what would it be?
The people. I think I would thank New York City for the people. You know, because New York is so beautiful in the sense that it has so many industries. It's filled with people who work in media, work in finance, work in, you know, medicine, work in, you know,
anything and everything.
Everything. You could be anything you want in this city. Honestly, anything. Like, you want to be a seamstress? You got it. You want to work in a restaurant? You absolutely got it. There's tons of work available for you. You know, I think New York has that makes it so beautiful. You know, it's multifaceted with so many industries and opportunities that no city has. You know, because, you know, my boyfriend, he went to Stanford for school, and he actually worked in San Francisco, and he thinks that he hated San Francisco, teach their own, but he hated the fact that it didn't have as many industries. It's like everybody only works in tech or startups or finance. It just, it's only those types of people, and it only breeds those types of people. And I think that's something that us New Yorkers take for granted. Like, we, if we need to meet someone to help us, I don't know, create an app or, you know, create a restaurant. Yeah. Like, we could do that all in New York. We don't have to go anywhere because New York has that all. So I think that's something that really is neat, and I have to thank New York for, is the fact that we have so many options available. You know, my parents, even when they came to New York, you know, they didn't come from great. They came, I came from very humble beginnings. My dad was a truck driver. My mom was a cleaning lady. Like, they did not come from, like, great backgrounds of, you know, being able to be doctors tomorrow. They had to, you know, hustle hard to make it in America. And I think New York is so beautiful in the sense that, you know, they have job opportunities for cleaning ladies. They have job opportunities for people who want to work in sanitation departments or work in, you know, like, you know, just being truck drivers going, you know, from New York to California, doing long distance traveling. Like, you could do anything starting from New York, which I think is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
I just want to take a moment to just thank you for taking your time to speak with me about your upbringing, your love for New York, your confession. And as I mentioned before, I do really, really appreciate you. Like, I'm not just saying it just to say it, but I really love our friendship. And like I said, out of maybe almost all my friends, you have been the most supportive. And I think we both are so open. And again, if it has to do with campaign, any in the industry, or like fears, or like the competitive edge, like, you support me genuinely and like so wholeheartedly that I just really, really appreciate. And finding somebody like you in the industry is so, so, so rare. I think when you grow older too, you might feel the same way. It's all about quality of friends over quantity. And I can say that I can count on you, and you're super dependable and just like somebody I can go to if I have any issues regarding whether it's personal, because we, you know, we spoke about that as well, or career wise. So I just want to take a moment to appreciate you.
I'm happy that we're not crying and nobody can see my face, because I'm going to shed a tear over here.
It's true. Yeah. And I think we don't tell people that enough. Like, I don't think, like you said, we take a lot of stuff for granted. The city, our relationships, and it's like, actually, it's so important to like express gratitude and appreciation, especially like when you have the time to do so.
Yeah, and it's so hard sometimes to take a moment and to thank someone, because we're always thinking about the new project, the new event, the new something, something always happening. But it's always nice to just like stop and thank someone for their time and commitment and friendship.
And time
you.
Is so like it's so rare because you can never get it back. Like this recording session, we're not gonna get back. So like I appreciate the time that you take in.
Of course.
I just wanted to end this with letting people know, what are you up to? Like, what are you currently working on? Mm-hmm. Anything exciting?
Yeah. So there's a lot in store in 2019. A lot. And I'm very, very excited and like humbled with everything to come, to be honest with you. You know, I'm wrapping up this new December, you know,
which is going to go live in January, but so you have a lot of stuff coming for next year.
Yes. So right now in December, I'm just doing like these last, you know, bits projects. Of campaigns and projects. But in January, it's going to be just nonstop. So everybody stay tuned.
I love that. I'll leave all the information, like your socials and everything in the description.
Yes.
So thank you so much again.
Thank you.
It's so much fun, right?
So much fun. Can we do it again?
Yay. I'll have you like next time.
Can I be a regular?
Sure.
Yeah, so
all right. Fun. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.